כל הלשון, כל התורה, בכל מקום.
Started at the Torah in Northwest London, Friday, 12th November, 8th of Kislev, by Shimon Gurevitz, Parsha theme. This week's Torah is sponsored by Family Dunner, Lechvod Simcha Fanasurim of Avrom Yisrom and Rivki Dunner. Yerotzen Shimon Nibayis Nemo Yisrael L'Shem L'Sehilo.
This week's Parsha and next week's Parsha provides us with a couple of difficulties in respect of understanding Yaakov's approach to Gashmias, to material acquisitions. I'd like to speak to the various Chazalim and try and reconcile them. Beginning of this week's Sedra, Yaakov makes a Neda. Ayida Yaakov Neda Lema Yeliki Mimodi Ushmorani B'derech Hazeh Ashanichi Hoylech V'nosan Li Lechem Lechoel U'Beged Lilboish. Yaakov doesn't ask for much. Lechem Lechoel Beged Lilboish. That's all he wants. He wasn't looking for luxuries. He wasn't looking for fancy food. He wasn't looking for extras. Lechem Lechoel. That's all he wanted. U'Beged Lilboish. And the clothes to wear. Parshas Meri asked, what about water? The water was plentiful. It wasn't something that he perceived to be a potential problem. The Radak already points out on this pasuk, the Radak already says, "Leishal Yitzro Yisrael." Enough for any extras. And the Tzorkoil of Bad Kadesh Yichya. All he wanted was enough to sustain himself, to keep himself alive. So Yaakov's interest in Vorm Gashmiim, as we would expect, was minimal, just what was necessary. In other words, he ate to live, he didn't live to eat. Find a similar idea later on, in Parshas by Yishlach, next week's Parsha. Yaakov Avinu sends a message to Esau. He says, Vayhi li shoy v'chamoyim. In the singular, now we find in Parashat Vayetze that Yaakov Avinu in fact has an abundance of possessions. It says in Parashat Vayetze, Vayhiloi, Tzoyin Rabois, Shfochois, Avodim, Gmalim, Vachamoyrim, Vayifritish, Mo'oid, Mo'oid, Vayavrom and Yitzchak Erni says Mo'oid, Vayakov it says Mo'oid, Mo'oid. Yaakov was exceedingly rich, and we speak about there in the plural, his many possessions. So why does Yaakov say, Vayhili Shoyer V'chamoyer? Vayhili Shvor V'chamoyer? So Sekoin on HaTorah says as follows, a point actually that we've mentioned before, says as follows, to explain this, he is Makhtim HaMedrash. Medrash in Parashat Lech Cho Vayhili Me'am Rofel. Medrash says as follows, Om HaShmur Banachmon, Chol mokim shneem avayihi meshamesh tzora v'hoya simcha. Where we find vayihi, it denotes tzav, pain, distress, and v'hoya denotes simcha. It says vayihi li shevachamur, says the sister Kohen on HaTorah, indicates that Yaakov Avinu had no pleasure in all his riches, in the multitude of possessions that he had. Gave him no pleasure at all. Adarabba, Vayihi, same it was a tzar, was a bother. He would have been far happier without it. Yaakov Avinu was only interested in Lechem Lechoel U'Beged Lilboish. So Sikoyen, that's why he spoke about it in the singular. He was sending a message to Esau. You see, I have tremendous riches. You should know they give me no pleasure. To me, all these Shvarim and Chamoyim, etc., are worth no more than a Shoyer and a Chamoyer. They give me no extra pleasure. I'd be happy just with a shoy and a chamoy. So there again we see that Yaakov Avinu's interest in his possessions was very, very minimal. In fact, I can answer a question which Rabbi Shadarshan actually mentions in this week's parsha. It says, V'hoyo ha'tufim lo'lovon, when they spit the sheep, it says, V'hoyo ha'tufim, and by Yaakov it says, V'hi lo'yisrein rabbit, says Rabbi Shadarshan, why do we change from V'hoyo to V'hi? And according to the medrash we've mentioned, we can understand this, and we've mentioned this before, love on Vahoya, to him this was his whole pleasure in life, this was his joy, this was his simcha, Vahoya is a lashon simcha, when it came to Yaakov it was a vayi. What's puzzling is as follows. As we've said, we can see that Yaakov's interest and material possessions was minimal. It was a vayehi. It wasn't something that excited him at all. In Nesri Tarsha, we're told, after he passed over the river Yabrik with his family and his huge amount of possessions, vayivose Yaakov nevada. Why wasn't he with his family? Why wasn't he together with all his possessions? Says Rashi. Shochach pachim ktanim. He neglected, he forgot, a few little jars, a few little jugs, v'choz alem, and he went back over the river in order to retrieve them. The Gemara in Chulin, in Tzadi Aleph, a reference to this Chazal, says the Gemara in Chulin as follows. Mikam l'tzadikim, shecholiv alem, moinom, yoyitza migufo. Yaakov risked physical hurt. Rak Yaakov risked his body. In fact, he was physically hurt. In order to retrieve the tachim ktanim, went of much value, and compared to the riches that he had, they were a minuscule amount of his possessions. But tzadikim, chavivin alem moisim moinam yoisim egufam. Their money is more valuable than their physical welfare. Difficult to understand. We would have thought just the opposite. But that's what Chazal says. Now let's try and put this together. On the one hand, he says beged lechol, lechem lechol beged lilvoish. By here it was a tzar. Shoyv HaChamoy wasn't worth anything more to him than a Shoyv HaChamoy. Yet over here we see a few pachim ketanim left behind. He risked going back across. He put himself in the danger of physical pain in order to retrieve these pachim ketanim chov olem moisom mamoinam yoisem mi gufam. How do we understand this? The Gemara carries on. Why tzadikim chov olem mamoinam yoisem mi gufam? The Gemara adds some words. They do not take what isn't theirs. How does this explain the chavivim amoinam yoisem igufon? Are we going to say that Yaakov Avinu was worried about if he would lose his pachim ketanim, he might be reduced to stealing, and therefore he had to retrieve them in order to take away the nisoyin hagzela? Very, very difficult to understand. How do we explain the next words of Fishay pushed in Yedem Begezel? Why is this a reason? Because of the Zahiris from Gezel that cannot take what's not theirs, for him to go back and take the Pachim Ketanim and take and retrieve the small, seemingly worthless, or very little value jugs. Another question, which we can ask in respect to Yaakov's attitude towards Mominus, a question that's actually raised by Rabban Kotler. As we've seen, Yaakov Avinu seems to have been very, very careful with what he owned. Took great care, the Pachim Ketanim, Chavim Alem Yesim Migufon. He wasn't the sort of person to squander money, to fritter money away. Yet we find in Parashat Vayigash, we're told as follows. Vayikhu es Mikneim, when they went down to Mitzrayim, Vesuchushom, Asher Rochshu Be'eretz Kenan. Took down their possessions, Yaakov with the Shvatim, all the possessions that they managed to amass in Eretz Kenan. Says Rashi, one second, he had possessions from before his days in Eretz Kenan. In Paddan Aram, with Lavan, he amassed a huge amount of possessions. Why do we only speak about the possessions that he amassed in Eretz Kenan? Says Rashi, what he amassed in Paddan Aram, that had already all been given away, it had all been spent. Why? He went to Esau, and he says, you know, you've got a chelik in Moros Machpela, I'd like to buy you out. And what did he do? He piled it all on. He said to Esau, look here, take all this, and I'll take your possession, your chelik in Moros Machpela. No negotiation, no bargaining, open hand, here it all is, take it. Now, one second. He was prepared to endanger his physical self in order to get back the Pachim Ketanim. And here he is, just expending huge amounts without any negotiation, without any bargaining at all. Rabban Kotler actually asks, what's going on over here? How do we explain the attitude of Yaakov Avinu towards finances, towards monetary acquisitions? There's another Gemara in Chulin, which seems to be puzzling. The Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuf Hei says as follows. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says, Anola ha milsa, in respect of the following, I am, chala ba chamer legababa. I'm like vinegar compared to wine when you compare me to my father. In what respect? Dila abba, my father, have a sayanichse tradesman of yoima. My father went to survey his possessions and check that they were okay twice a day. But anola sayana, I only go once a day. So I'm like vinegar compared to wine. I think you would have asked that, we would have said, the opposite. The one that goes once a day is more choshev than the one that goes twice a day. The one that goes once a day, he's not spending so much time on looking after his possessions and on surveying his possessions. The one that goes twice a day is spending more time. He seems to have more of an interest in his possessions. How do we understand this? And yet, Shmuel's saying, no, my father was more choshev than me. He went twice a day, and I only went once a day. This Gemara also needs some explanation. To explain Yaakov Avinu's interest in his physical possession, why Chavivin Aleim Amoyim Meis Migufim, which is very, very difficult to understand. And to understand how this ties in with the Fishay Poishin Yidem and Agezel, the care that Tzadikim take not to take one to do what's not theirs, I'd like to quote a word from the Daivik Sher, or Shiva of Slabotka, and the Simcha Zisel already touched the Simcha Zisel, the Alta Punkelm also touched on this in his Sefer Erushal. He says as follows. He says, the chavidas that tzaddikim have for their money is not a chemdes hamomen in the sense that we understand chemdes hamomen, the desire for materialism. Not at all. He says, tzaddikim realize and understand that what they receive from the Ribbono Shel Olam is given to them for a purpose. Everybody has a mission in this world. Everybody has a tachlis in this world. And the Ribbono Shel Olam gives each and every person what they need for their personal, individual mission in this world. If a person is given something from the Ribbono Shel Olam, it must mean that that item, object, money, or whatever it may be, is necessary for the fulfillment of the divine mission that I have been placed for in this world. And therefore, for me, this is spirituality. This is important. This is my mission. And that's the chavivas that tzaddikim have from Amoinam. Not because they love money. Not because they have an interest in materialism. Not because they have pleasure from amassing a huge amount of goods. That's not the idea. The idea is that they view everything that they get as being part and parcel of their divine mission in this world and the fulfillment of the Ribbono Shel Olam's law. How can they be so sure? Because every penny that they have is honestly earned. They never take anything which isn't theirs. If a person takes what he's not entitled to, he can't be sure that what he has is designated for his mission in this world. He has it because he's taken it. Because he's been dishonest. If a person is absolutely honest, he can be rest assured that whatever he has been designated from the Ribbono Shel Olam for him to have. And if the Ribbono Shel Olam has given it to him, it must be important for his mission in this world. So the Fisha in Poishin Deim Nagezel, because a tzaddik never takes what isn't his, he knows that every penny that he has is destined to him and has been sent to him from the Ribbono Shel Olam, therefore he knows that whatever he's been given is necessary for his mission in this world, is necessary for him to be Mamala, Rotzon Hashem, as it is in essence part and parcel of his tafkid ruchni. Part and parcel of Tafkid Ruchni. If it's part and parcel of him being able to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, if this is part and parcel of fulfilling his mission, his divine mission in this world, then of course, Chavivin Aleim Amoinam, Yosem Migufa. And that's why Shmuel says, Anok Chalaba Hamra Negaba Abba. My father had a great understanding than I did. He knew that those possessions that he had been given from the Ribbono Shel Olam were going to formulate part and parcel of his divine mission. If that's the case, I've got to make sure that they're well preserved. I've got to make sure that they're well cared for, that they're looked after, because they're my passport to spirituality. They're part and parcel of my mission in this world. I'm not as great as my father in that respect. I only go once a day. That lesson isn't imprinted as strongly in me as my father had it. This also answered to Rabban Kotler's question. Yaakov Avinu had no interest in materialism. He just viewed what he'd been given as part and parcel of fulfilling his divine mission in this world. Now, why did he purchase Moros HaMachpelah from Esau? Why was he prepared to make that expenditure? Medrash and Shmois tells us, Omer Yaakov, Rosh HaZeh, Chotit Hu Likonit Hu Vonim Moros HaMachpelah. They've got a chelek. In future, they're going to come into Moros HaMachpelah. They're going to take up residence in the same place as Sadiqim are buried. And that will be a bizui kvoida of it, which in turn is a bizui kvoid shamayim. So that expenditure was for ruchnias. That expenditure was in order to ensure the kedusha of the mokim, in order to ensure that the Sadiqim should be buried together with Sadiqim kamoisam rather than with Rishoyim. It came to Dvarim ruchnias. With an open hand. Adarabba, this is an opportunity to use what I've been given in order to further Poitamayim, in order to further looking after Tzadikim and to be Mamal and Rosh Hashem. So no contradiction at all. The Pachim Kitanim he had to go back for because of part of his divine mission. But when it came to fulfilling Rosh Hashem, it was with an open hand because the concept of Chem Tzamomen didn't exist. I thought that perhaps with what we've said, I can answer a medrash, which is seemingly difficult, in this week's parasha. It says as follows. Vayelech Reuven v'meik tzir chitin, vayimtza d'doim v'asoda. So Rashi already brings down, medrash l'hagit shvochim shal tzadikim, comes to teach us the righteousness and the praise of Tzadikim. Sha'as ha'kotzer hoyo, it's time of harvest. They posh together together l'hovi chitim usayrim. There's those of chitim usayrim lying around, and the truth is, before Hashem say, the farmers wouldn't have minded too much if he would have taken a few bits of chitim usayrim. But no, he went dafka for the dvorim shel hefka the dedoy. So this demonstrates, that the Reuven was a youngster over here, this demonstrates his extreme zahiras from anything which he's not perfectly entitled. Says the Medrash as follows, Mikan, the Tzadikim, Shein Poishtin Yedem Min HaGezel. Same notion that we have in the Gemara and Chulin. It teaches us that Tzadikim never take what is theirs. The Medrash carries on and says as follows, Chanoich Lenar Pidarkoi, Gam Kiyazkin Lo Yosur Mimeno. This middle that Reuven displayed of extremes of heroes from something which he's not perfectly entitled to, this was evident in Reuven when he was a youngster. This week's parash, he was a youngster, he was a boy, Chanech Na Pidarke. Gam Kiyazkin Lo Yosur Mimeno, we see Reuven and his shave, his children, were nizer in this middle. Where do we see it? Says the Medrash, because they said, when they went Eva Yarden, Yutan et Oret, Azayis Lavdecha, give this land to the Eva Yarden to the servant. Where do you see in the Yutan et Oret, Azayis Lavdecha, the care and the attention not to take what isn't yours? You know, Pasha land, it was very good for his Mikta Rav. Where do you see, so he decided to go for it. Beautiful possessions. Where do you see there the Zahiras of Tzadikim and what's not there? I think we have to really understand what Bnei Reuven were doing, and Bnei God for that matter as well. How he sort of spent 40 years traveling through the Midbar. Their goal was at Sinai Kedusha. Kedusha Torah. Mitzvah Tzluyas Boreth. They were almost there. Unfortunately, the leader of Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, had been told, "Ad kan, you're not to go any further." And how does Moshe Rabbeinu react? Tremendous tzar. He's bespelled tefillas k'minyan, where Hanan until the Rabbeinu Shalom told him to stop. And they'd witnessed all this. They were on the brink of coming into Eretz Yisrael. They'd seen how heartbroken their leader was. He said, "Oh, you know what? It's nice here. Mikne Rav, good pashalam, we're staying here." How do we explain that? Speaking about the day, ship take off. How do we explain that? It's stood by Mount Sinai. I think there can only be one answer. The Ribbono Shel Olam has granted them Mikne Rav. If we've been given Mikne Rav, we have to look after them because they're obviously part and parcel of our divine mission in this world. They're necessary in order for us to be Mala, our Tafkid, Ruchni. Therefore, it's incumbent on us to take care of them. And that's so. We're not going to be able to take care of them as well as we can take care of them in Eva Hayalden. must have been tremendously difficult for them to forego the opportunity of living in Eretz Yisrael. But if the Rebbeinu Shlom given us the Mikneh Rav, that is part of our Tafkid Ruchni. How could they be so sure it was part of the Tafkid Ruchni? How could they be so sure to the point that they were prepared to be Mevatan Eretz Yisrael? There's only one answer. Because they never took what wasn't rightfully theirs. Therefore they knew if they had this Mikneh Rav, it's been granted from the Rebbeinu Shlom, it's part of our mission in this world, and therefore we have to take care of it. That's Shet Nemedrash. Kalef Nampi Dauke Reuven displayed as the heroes from Gezel. From the fact that they were prepared to take Eva Yad and not going to Eretz Yisrael, it can only be because they recognized that the Mikneh Rav was part of their divine mission in this world, which could only be as a result of them being absolutely and truthfully honest and never taking what wasn't theirs. Otherwise, they couldn't have been so sure it was part of the Tafkid in this world that could be pshat in the Medrash. There's a pshat in that as well, in that whole story. So you say it the other way around. You see that they somehow or other seem to be makdim bonim. Now the truth is, Emerson. The truth is that the pella over there, they had to build on the tap chem. The infrastructure was all there. It was all there. Because the walls all took place in the Midbar. It was all there. The Elamai, in their mind, there was no problem, there was no danger. Okay, they could have improved upon it, but there was no actual danger. So the Chura they did right. What they did wrong is another discussion.
I think isn't there also an idea that they did it sort of to comfort Moshe? Moshe couldn't cross over.
Could be. Although the prophet puts it down to Mr. Rab, but that could have also been Pshat. Who says it? Oh, well, that could be a possible pshat in the Medrash. You see from here, the Yaakov Avinu, as we said, his shifa wasn't Gashmias, his shifa was Ruchnias, and the money that he had, and the way he looked after it, was totally and only because he viewed this as part of his Tafkid Ruchni. You find next to his Parsha, the Chabad Chaim raises this already, that when Yaakov Avinu meets Esav, we find an interesting interchange between them. It says as follows. Vayema Esav Yeshli Rov. Esav says Yeshli Rov. What does Yaakov say? Yaakov says Yeshli Kol. So Chaim writes, what's the difference? Esav says Yeshli Rov. Yaakov Avinu says Yeshli Kol. Chabad Chaim says, this is all the same idea. Esav says Yeshli Rov. Esav had a tremendous tshuka, tremendous desire for the Dvarim Gashmiim, for materialism. And if somebody likes materialism, Yeshli Mono Reisa Masayim. Okay, I could do with a lot more. I admit, I've got loads of it's not coil. I haven't finished yet. I hope that it will grow. Yaakov Avinu, on the other hand, he had at least as much money as Esav seemingly, they had a completely different attitude to it. Wasn't interested in materialism. Whatever I need for my mission, the Ribbono Shel Olam will give me and has given me. Therefore, Yeshli Kol, I have whatever I need. By Yaakov Avinu, there was no Yeshli Mona Roitza Mosayim because there was no element of Chemdas Amoman. His sole attachment to his materialism, to what he had, was only because this was part and parcel of his tafkid in this world. And therefore, Yeshli Kol. My great-grandfather, Rabbi Elopkin, says as follows. Hoskin Tehillim, Chetim Benching, V'doyer Shei Hashem, L'yachzru Chol Toiv. Rabbi as follows, L'yachzru Chol Toiv. He says, if we look at tzaddikim generally, many of them are living in abject poverty, and even those that are comfortable, you can't say they've got Chol Toiv. And yet we say, L'yachzru, L'hem Chol Toiv. He says as follows, Moshel Ma'ad Avadayma. Somebody visits a friend, unfortunately has various ailments. He says, his friend tells him, come inside. Let me show you my riches. I've got what nobody else has. And he takes him to the medicine cupboard that he has at home. Light, unfortunately, it's full of all sorts of medicaments. This medication is worth a fortune. This one's worth, you can't imagine. He says, he added it all up. He says, you know, I've got over here in my house an absolute fortune, a famegan. And what's the other person thinking? Nebuch. Nebuch had after Saltzum. I'm better off without it all. There's a Rebellion. The Dershe Hashem, the Yasu Kol Tzayit. It's all they garnish. They've got what they need. What the Ribbono Shel Olam gives them, that's what they need for their life's mission. And what they don't have, they've got kultur. It's all they garnish. They've got exactly what they have. And this all ties in with what we said, that if somebody is careful and always earns honestly, he can be rest assured that whatever he needs, he's been given. And if he hasn't been given it, he doesn't need it. And this is the way to resolve the dilemma of Yaakov Avinu. His interest extended no more than lechem leachoil ubegad lilboish, yet the care he took, or even the pachim katanim, was only as a result of him being aware that whatever he had was part and parcel of his divine mission. Ben Shemzo Umtelfen, we should all be in a matzav of Deish Hashem leyachchol toiv. We should have what we need, forever, b'shefa, and we should appreciate that what we've been given is important only because it formulates our tafkid ruchni in this world. A good Shabbos.
Olam shalem shel tochen mechake lecha bekol halashon 03-617-1111